Good morning, everyone. It is good to be back in front of everyone. I hope that if you've got a Bible, you might be turning over to Luke, the 8th chapter. We're going to look at a very well-known parable again this morning, but hopefully maybe from a little different viewpoint. So most of us have looked at the parable of the sower, and I want to read that for you to begin our lesson with this morning. We're going to start in Luke, the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 4, and we're going to read down through verse 15. When a large crowd was coming together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. And the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And other seed fell on the rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. And other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And as he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is parables, seeing so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those beside the road are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. And those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, they just fall away. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they are going on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Most of the time when we look at that parable, we're looking at it from a standpoint of us as sowers of the seed. And that's a good viewpoint. One of the things that we're responsible for and that this parable teaches us is that as we go out and spread the word of God, it's not our job to judge what kind of soil we're spreading it on. We just spread it. And there will be different people who take it different ways. And that's a great lesson in this parable. But I want us to look at it from a little different viewpoint this morning. All of us in this room have been recipients of someone who sowed that seed. We're the soil as well as the sowers, right? Now, when we look at the kinds of soil that he's mentioning here, he said those first seeds fell on by the wayside. Well, I suspect that there are not too many folks in this audience who are that kind of soil. Those aren't the kinds of folks that'll show up, right, when we all get together on the first day of the week. And then there are those who it was rocky soil, and maybe it sprouted a little bit, and there's people who've come a few times, and then they kind of disappear because it really hasn't taken root. Now, living in Texas, that's easy ground to imagine, isn't it? I've got some friends that live out in Gray Forest, and one of the things that always impressed me there was how little lawn care they have to do, because it's just rocks. You know, they don't have to worry about their yard a whole lot, because things just don't grow very well. But notice those next two soils. It's not as much a difference in the soil as it is what's growing in that soil. Because he says in that second group, he says, they receive the word and they go on their way, but then these thorns come in and choke it out. And then there's the soil where it seems like in the parable that okay, this is just like the, you know, people have been to the manicured gardens. You know, the ones that look like there's not a maintenance person in sight and the ground is absolutely gorgeous and every bush has exactly flowers on it in the right place and they're gorgeous and beautiful. And you look at it and you go, why can't my yard be like that? And the reason is because there's a lot of work that goes into maintaining that kind of environment, right? And I suspect that if you're like me, that's our goal, is to be like that. But most of us have to deal with weeds. That's what the thorns are. They're the weeds in life. And so when we start looking at how we're going to deal with our lives, how do we get to the point where we are that good soil producing the hundredfold yield? Well, folks, we're going to have to dig out some weeds. And I, you know, there was a lot of parables that used things that people were very familiar with. And I think this is one that when we think about it, most of us are really familiar with the concepts. Because the first thing you got to do is you got to recognize the weeds, right? You got to know what the difference is between the good ones and the bad ones. Now, again, when we first moved to Texas, this was a problem for us. I didn't realize that some of the really nice wildflowers, they're called, you know, when we went up and looked at the wildflower garden, wildflower farm, that's kind of one of those oxymoron things. But up around Fredericksburg, there's a place where they actually grow wildflowers, okay? And as I was looking at them, they're really pretty, and then I'm looking at the leaves going, oh, man, I think I dug one of those out of my yard the other day. Because the leaf didn't look like what I was used to, right? And so recognizing them is a problem, but, you know, this parable helps us. He tells us what the weeds are in kind of three categories, doesn't he? When he explains this parable to his disciples, he says the first weed that chokes them out are worries. Worries in life. Now, if you look over in Matthew, the sixth chapter, Jesus went through a saying there with the folks when he was teaching them and said, you know, we're worried about a lot of things. And people worry about what are we going to eat and what are we going to wear and what am I going to, you know, how is this going to go? And his advice was, don't worry about it. Seek first his kingdom and all these things will be added to you. Once again, as I started looking at this and thinking about it, I'm not sure that too many of us fall into the category of worrying a lot about what we're going to eat. I know I don't. My wife's a good cook. I come home, dinner's on the table, I am blessed. But there were times in our life when there were job problems or times when income wasn't coming in, and there were some concerns about that, but nowhere near what a lot of people in this world worry about. We don't really have that kind of deal. And most of us really don't worry about what we're going to wear. Back then, you know, if you had two changes of clothes, you were lucky. So we can easily kind of overlook that. But does that mean that there's no worries in this life? And that worry's not a weed that we got to work on? See, I think it is. And that's one of the things that kind of headed me down this sermon as I was, you know, this past week and some of the things that were just bothering me and worrying me. When you start looking at daily worries of whether it's your job or whether it's your school or whether it's your home, you know, the things you got to fix around the house that are constantly going crazy. Is your car going to make it for the next week? Do you have enough to pay your car payments? I've got parents that I'm worried about and working on. And I've got children and grandchildren. And there's all kinds of things that we can worry about. But worry can be a weed. Now, does that mean that we just don't care about any of those things? No. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But sometimes we've got to be able to distinguish when the worries are starting to take over our life. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I like that expression. Sometimes we borrow trouble. Heard that? We borrow trouble. We worry about things that just might not even happen. And sometimes we spend too much time worrying about things that might not happen. And that doesn't mean you're not supposed to plan. You know, that doesn't mean you can just sit down and not worry about it, anything in the sense that, you know, I'm folding my hands and life will just do what it does. But sometimes, I think if we all admit it, we get caught up in that, don't we? Just worrying too much about tomorrow. It's not quite the right way to look at it, but there are times when I have things at work that start to pile up, and you finally realize, never put off until tomorrow what you can put off forever. And sometimes it takes that kind of house cleaning, right? To say that there are just things that we're worrying about that, quite frankly, we're not going to get to. So let's not worry about it. But others that we do need to get to. But we need to recognize worries when they start coming up in our life. And that's hard because they sneak up on you. Riches. So we're going to say, oh, well, riches. How many of you here, you know, would put yourself in the category of rich? Okay? Yeah, I'm not seeing too many hands. So we don't worry about this one, right? But really what it is talking about is, what are you pursuing? What is it in life that is driving you? And riches can be one of those things. Again, in Matthew 6, it has to do with the pursuit of money. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. I've known people that had as a goal when they were young that by the time they were 50 or 55 years old, they're going to be retired. Sounds like a good goal. Except having passed that line before, you know, being 60 and on the other side of 50 and 55 at this point, it's like, I'm not ready to retire. It's like, what are you going to do? You got to have something to do in this life, right? So be careful what you're searching for, what you're looking for. Or if you're driving to get that much built up in your bank account, is that becoming a weed in your life that other things are being neglected as you're pursuing the goal of money? That's a goal that's preached a lot in our society, is it not? But that last one is one that we really have to watch out for, I think, in our society. The pleasures of this world. He says you can have worries. You might be after riches. But he says it's also the pleasures of this world that can choke out the things that God wants in our lives. There's nothing wrong with leisure time. But our society is obsessed with leisure time. Everybody, maybe you don't feel the same way as I do about it. But it just irks me that on Saturdays, my recorder that tapes television for me, I like to catch the news. You know, just the half-hour news that kind of catches you up on what's going on in the world. And this time of year, I never get it because the football game always runs over and they just pop the news off and don't worry about it. Now, why would they do that? Because most of the world cares a lot more about football than they do what else is going on in the world, right? And if that's not pursuit of leisure and the point of being weeds in your life, I'm not sure what is. But I think you understand that anything that we pursue just because it's fun, that doesn't mean we can't have fun, folks. But we have to watch it, that doesn't become a weed. So, we have to recognize the weeds, but I want you to think about, as we're thinking about those recognitions here, what are the nature of weeds? As I started thinking about this, there's so many things about the way that we deal with this. For one thing, quite often, they just grow on their own, don't they? When we moved into our house, they had very nicely put a lawn in the front for us. If you know, St. Augustine grass is a lawn. I know some people think it's a weed, but it at least it's a grass. But they didn't put anything in the backyard. Okay? It was just dirt. And at the time, we're a little busy moving in, and we're also kind of low on finances and just all kinds of other things, and I figured, you know, I'll get to that later. How long do you think it stayed just dirt? Yeah, about, what, 2-3 weeks? And then there's green things that are popping up all over the place. I didn't have to plant anything. Stuff started growing. I'm thinking this is a good thing, right? But there's a problem with it. These things grow best when we don't pay attention. I'm looking out there and saying, oh, I don't have to worry about this lawn. I don't have to pay attention to it. It just grows. And you know what? It got to be green, and it got to be lush, and there were big things that were growing up there, and pretty soon you couldn't walk in the backyard. And it was all weeds. And there's a problem there. They look good at first, right? Some of them even had flowers. They're green. They cover the ground. What's to complain about? I picked that one on the top. I don't know if you recognize that one. That is called a prickly poppy. And you'll see them in the roadside. This was the one that I went out and said, again, being totally ignorant of these things, there were a bunch of them growing there. But you know what? I'm going to make a little bouquet for my wife. Right? I mean, I know the reeds, but I'm going to go just, you know, snip a few of them. And so I got my little, you know, garden shears, and I went out, and I grabbed a hold of one of those, and I wasn't wearing gloves. Those things bite. And then I realized that all of the weeds in my backyard were full of spines and thorns and barbs. And they weren't that good at all. They were defending their territory. They didn't want to leave my yard. And it was going to be a tough time getting rid of them because they look good. But that was very deceptive. And they choke out the good stuff. How much grass do you think grew once those weeds really got established? Not much. They just choke it out. Whether it's a weed or a garden, you don't pay attention to it. They just grow. My parents were always into gardening things. They both grew up in rural Alabama. We never moved anywhere when I was growing up. But what my dad didn't get a rototiller and carve up part of the yard to plant stuff. That is just inevitable. It was going to happen. And whenever he had a garden, it was well laid out. There were rows of things. We lived in Florida. He grew all kinds of stuff. And when they moved to Alabama back again, he built this thing all the way around their backyard that was like a raised bed where they had, you know, vegetables and mom put flowers and just, it was always manicured when they were taken care of. But they moved out of their house in February. And it's been empty. Now, we've had yard people coming in and mowing the grass, right? But these are yard people. They don't care about anything else. They mow the grass. That's what they're being paid to do. And when we visited this last summer, one of the things that really shocked us when we looked back there was all these places where they had the carefully manicured stuff. There were weeds this tall, just all over the place. It looked like a mess because nobody had been paying any attention to it. And I think sometimes that's what our lives are like. It's really easy to just kind of ignore some things because they look okay. And then they kind of get established, and then they take over. And that's when you know that you've really got a weed problem. So, we got to get rid of the weeds, folks. We got to dig them out. We first have to look for them. It's interesting when Jeremiah was writing his Lamentations, one of the appeals that he made to the people was, he said, let us examine and probe our way, and let us return to the Lord. If you don't find them, if you don't learn to recognize them and then look for them, now, some of them are easy to spot. Everybody got those little, those broadleaf weeds, you know, the ones that kind of really grow up and they got kind of stickers on them. Yeah, I see those and I have this tool that I can go after it, you know, and as soon as you see one and it starts sticking its nose up, you just dig it out. But there's this other one that grows in my side yard. I don't have a name for it yet. Maybe I'll bring in a piece and somebody here can tell me what it is. It's got this kind of reddish little, whatever you call the thing that the leaves grow off of. It's kind of a wiggly thing, right? Whatever. And it's got these little teeny leaves, and it lies flat in the ground. And it kind of grows under the grass for a while until all of a sudden I'm mowing, and I look down and I go, whoa, wait, there's no grass here. It's all this stupid weed. And then I have to spend hours digging it out. And it's tempting at times. You know what the greatest thing for weeds is? Roundup. You just spray that on there, kills them. What's the problem with Roundup, though? Kills everything, okay? That's not what I'm saying, folks. You know, that would be kind of one of the approaches is if you're not sure what you're doing is right, just don't do anything, okay? No, we have to figure out how to manicure this place and how to get it and get our lives in the right order. We have to look for these leads, and then we have to dig them out. And part of that is learning to turn things over to God. Look over in Philippians, the fourth chapter. In Philippians 4, this whole chapter gives us some really good ideas on how to get rid of weeds. Rejoice in the beginning of verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You got anxieties? You got things you're worried about? Here's where he says how to tame those. You have to learn to turn a lot of that over to God and realize what you can work on and what you got to let God work on. That's not easy. Anybody who thinks getting rid of all those weeds in my backyard when I had neglected it for that long was easy, I'll let you do it next time. And even lately, we had a patch where I couldn't get rid of the weeds, and I did have to go in with a rototiller, you know, and dig up a big spot and then plant some seeds and then water it. And of course, part of my problem is I'm trying to teach my lawn to be drought resistant. So it doesn't quite always get the care that it needs. It doesn't get as much water as it should. It probably doesn't get as much fertilizer as it should. And so I can't complain a lot that I got weeds in my yard. But that's kind of like us, right? If we really want our spiritual lives to thrive and to grow, we got to water it. We got to feed it. And if we don't, then something's going to grow there. You remember when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and he said that they got a problem because that this one that would the evil spirit would go out of and get cleaned out, but nothing else came in. And so the spirit came back and grew and invited seven of his friends in, and then things were just worse off than they were before. And that's what our lives can be like if we're not putting the right kinds of things in. If you don't plant the lawn, if you just try to leave the dirt bare, you're just going to get more weeds. So we have to look after those. On down to Philippians, in the 11th, beginning in the 11th verse, he says, we'll start in verse 10. He says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly now that at last you have received your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." So are we worried about what we eat, what we wear, how we're going to get enough money to survive, whether we're going to retire at age 55 or not, all of those kinds of things? Paul says, you know what? There can be a lot of worries in this life. What we have to figure out, though, is how to be content. That's a very different state of mind, where it says things are going to change, right? Sometimes they're going to be up, sometimes they're going to be down. And we just have to recognize that that's not what life is all about in the future and what we're looking for. And so we have to learn to be content with what we have here now. That's not necessarily easy, but it's a way to get rid of some of those weeds that can choke us out. Probably never going to completely eradicate weeds. It's an ongoing struggle. Nobody's got a perfect lawn. There's always something cropping up in it. But we really have to work on trying not to let them grow back. You have to fill your life with the right things. We've looked at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Remember those? Those are the kinds of things that if you fill your life with them. And then again, here in Philippians, the 4th chapter, look at verses 8 and 9. He said, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Those are the kinds of things that if you plant them in your life, will grow up to give the yield that we're looking for. And so you can have a pretty well-ordered garden as long as you recognize the work that it takes to keep it up. The seed is the good soil. These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. Hold it fast, and bear fruit with perseverance. You see, we sometimes miss that last word. We want to be that good soil. We want to be the ones who are fruitful for God. But it's going to take perseverance. It's going to take examining our lives, figuring out how to recognize the weeds, getting in there and digging them out, and putting the right stuff in so that we can live a life of service to God. If we can help you this morning, if you need to get some weeds out of your life, the other thing that you can do is ask for help. A lot of times you can't handle it on your own. That's what we're here for. If we can help you in any way, if you're ready to become a Christian or you need our help in another way, you please let us know. While together we stand and we sing.